Welcome to my testimony, and today we have Melody Harris. Yes, very exciting testimony, and it's a miracle testimony, actually. Melody, welcome to my testimony.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here today. I'm very excited to share God's blessings in my life.
Yeah, and Melody, you have a second recent testimony, but before we get into that one, we're going to have to bring you back on part two. You know?
Definitely.
Yeah, because you're definitely a miracle, and you and Philip and Elijah and your new son. What's your new son's name? Introduce him to the world.
Yes, Isaiah Morris Harris.
Yes, and that's going to be our second testimony, but they're gonna have to wait for that one.
Sounds good.
Because they need to hear the first one first, man. So can't wait to hear it. So welcome again to my testimony.
Thank you.
So before we get into our testimony, let's bow our head for prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for this beautiful day that you provided for us. Thank you for Melanie and her family. And thank you for her testimony. And we pray that as she shared with us today, that our souls will be lifted and that we will be blessed. And that your Holy Spirit will just be with her as she speaks from her heart. Just ask that everything will go according to your plan. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 So Melanie, I mean, you're here in South Florida now. You moved here a couple of years ago, but before you guys got here, and very early in your life, you know, you just started your family. What happened?
Yes. So in 2004 is when Philip and I got married. And just 3 years after that, I experienced some health issues. Little did I know, I had health problems. And in my early 20s, I've been very healthy my whole life. I haven't had any problems with my health. And a regular GYN visit brought to my attention a very rare kidney disease that I was not aware of that I had, called IgA nephropathy. Mm-hmm. And at this time, I did not experience any symptoms. I was very much of an athletic person, ate well, healthy, don't have any high blood pressure, diabetes, no illnesses in my family or anything to that nature. And through a urinalysis, actually a 24-hour urinalysis, and meeting with my nephrologist, I found out I had a very rare kidney disease called IgA nephropathy.
Wow.
And at that time, the disease had already attacked my body, but there was nothing further that was happening. So there was nothing else needed at that point in time. I had to take one medication and everything was fine.
Right.
And I would say probably about a year later from that, out of nowhere, my kidneys completely shut down.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
I was actually on my way to work and started to feel a lot of chest pain. And Philip at the time told me, check your blood pressure. Check my blood pressure. It was about 200 over 110. It was significantly high. And he told me, Melanie, you need to go to the hospital. And in the time, we were living in the Pinellas County area, and I went to Morton Plant Hospital. And at first, I really wasn't going to go. I said, Philip, I'm fine. I was on my way to work. You know, he's like, Melanie, I think you really need to go to the hospital. You know, your blood pressure's high. You're seeing your chest pains. That's serious. So thank goodness I listened to my husband.
Right.
Went to the hospital because I told him I had chest pain. They immediately saw me. And when they ran my blood panel, my creatinine level came back at a 28.
Ooh.
Those of you in the health industry, you know, a normal person's creatinine levels is 1.0 or less.
Yeah.
And at the time, the doctors told me, you know, are you feeling okay? Are you fine? Like, you know, when's the last time you had blood work? Which was maybe months ago, and my blood work was perfectly normal. And he said, we're going to have to rush you and admit you now and put you on dialysis.
Oh my goodness.
And at that time, when I went back on dialysis, the first time I had dialysis, I wasn't even aware of what dialysis was, to be honest with you, because I was not aware of, you know, the whole process with your kidneys failing. Little did I know that this was something that could impact my life. And during my first dialysis treatment, because my body had so much toxins in it, I started to lose my vision. And I said to the nurses, I can't see, something's wrong, I can't see. And as my vision left me, I went, basically lost consciousness. And Phil told me that I went into a seizure at the time and was on, pretty much stopped breathing, and was on a respirator for a few days. And pretty much what happened was that there was so much toxins in my body, the first dialysis treatment, it was just too much. And at that time, pretty much I was admitted in the hospital for a couple of days.
Okay.
And that was the beginning of being on dialysis.
And how old were you at that time?
26.
26. And you, so young, full of life, just got married, 26. This is happening to you. So fast forward just a little bit. What was going through your mind after you came back? Because you obviously you came back from conscious to being conscious again. And what was going through your mind when you were in the hospital at that time?
To be honest with you, I really wasn't sure what the long-term effect was. You know, at the time, I just knew I was on dialysis. And the doctors told me, you know, really, you know, you have absolutely no kidney function at this time. And the outcome for you is to go on dialysis. You can go on hemodialysis or peritoneal dialysis, which is where you're fully dialyzing 8 hours at a time. So after some church members came to see me and my pastor did an anointing on my body and I was released home, we started dialysis. And I was on dialysis for about 8 months with serious issues beyond dialysis. They could not control my blood pressure. It was every day I had seizures. I had over 15 seizures throughout that time frame. I was on 4 to 5 different blood pressure medications, including a patch. I was on over 20 other medications I was taking just because of dialysis treatments that was required. And I really went into a state to where Philip had to basically take care of me. I could not take care of myself. I could not work. I could not drive because of the seizures. And the outcome at that point was a kidney transplant. So I went on the waiting list for kidney transplant, and I found out my blood type was B positive, which meant that it's usually an average 2-year waiting list for B positive because it is a rare blood type.
Right.
So at that point, I was discouraged, and I thought to myself, I said, Lord, I was like, I can't believe, you know, 3 years into marriage in my 20s and our potential future of what we thought would be for our family was looking dim. And so every day I just prayed and hoped that, Lord, you would provide me a kidney, provide me a match, provide me a solution. And it was probably one of the most difficult times of my life, just every day not having energy to even wash myself, not able to get out of bed. And God's miracle came to me through one of my sorority sisters. So throughout this process, my husband was tested, my parents, my brother was tested. We even had friends, people, everyone was tested, and no one, unfortunately, was a match. And one of my sorority sisters from college heard about what was going on. Philip was telling everyone that I was on dialysis. I needed a transplant. You know, we're waiting and looking on the list, but it's, you know, could be a couple of years before I had a transplant. And she had previously went to the military before going to the college that we attended together, University of South Florida in Tampa. And she already knew she would be positive. So she decided, she said, Philip, I want to get tested. So she drove down from Houston, Texas. Got her dogs in the car, made it here in one day. Moved in with us and went to Tampa General to get tested. And throughout all the testing, they don't just test your blood type. They do tissue typing. They go through a mental evaluation to make sure that you're not being coerced. It's a very serious process for a living donor. But who knew but God that she would be a perfect match. And to know that a complete stranger had the exact perfect match that was needed. And she decided that she wanted to donate her kidney to me. So March 31st, 2007, I had a kidney transplant, and we are forever linked through that.
Amen. Amen.
So you are surviving with her kidney.
Basically. Surviving today, almost 12 years later with her kidney.
How do you minister to her? Because I know you being a Christian, I'm not sure if she's a Christian or not, but how are you ministering to her now you guys are linked in this way?
You know, it's amazing how God works. You know, she be honest with you, has been more of an inspiration to me. You know, we sometimes as Christians want to share our testimony with others and preach and tell them so much mm-hmm. about God. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she sacrificed everything, moved down here, sacrificed her own life mm-hmm. to give me her kidney, and till this day doesn't even want to share and tell others because she said, I just wanted to help you. I just want to help you and Philip and your family. Wow. And that was it. And, you know, we are always in contact. She's actually, you know, because of her miracle to me, mm-hmm. provided Philip and I another miracle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to this day, she, of course, is the godmother of our son because of her gift of life to me, right. Philip and I were able to have our first child.
Right. Wow. And that was going to be my next question, because you got your kidney transplant and now you're a mother with Elijah. So tell us about that process, because I know that must have been difficult.
Very difficult. Yeah.
Yes, even after I had the transplant, you're on transplant medication for the remainder of your life, really. The point is to prevent rejection. So you're on anti-rejection medication and all these other medications you have to take daily. And I did have some issues with some of them. I was on steroids, natural leaf to prevent rejection, prednisone, which caused me to actually deteriorate my hip. So mm-hmm. I had a vascular necrosis and I had to have a total hip replacement just a year after having the kidney transplant, where I had to go through pretty much learn how to walk again. I had to, I was on a walker and had to go through rehabilitation after that. Mm-hmm. And even shortly after that, I suffered a stroke.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
We don't know really what the cause of that was that caused the stroke, but I woke up one morning and was in our home. And at the time we had a dog, and I started feeling some pain in my left side of my body, which is me and the dog at the house. And I'm not really a dog person that allows a dog to lick my face or mm-hmm. be in the bed with us. But all of a sudden our dog came up to me and started licking me. And I'm like, what is Coco doing licking me? And mm-hmm. I went, my whole left body was numb.
And
I was able to call 911. Come to find out, my speech started slurring. They took me to the hospital. And at the time, after I had my transplant, the hospital I was taken to didn't really want to treat me. They wanted to send me back to Tampa General. Mm. To actually be seen, because I had just recently had my transplant.
Right, right.
And come to find out, I was going through a stroke. So all they had given me was a baby aspirin. And through this process, another testimony of this was my parents were called, and you know, Philip told them, they drove up to come see me in the hospital room. And I'm laying here in the bed, speech is slurred, mm-hmm. completely numb on my left side of my body, and doctors deciding, what are we going to do with her?
Oh my goodness.
What are we gonna do? And at the time, my dad was sitting in the corner. He said, Melanie, he said, I want you to get up and I want you to walk towards me. Mm. And at the time, I listened and I got up and I walked to my father. Mm. And I walked out of that hospital with no treatment.
Wow.
Complete restoration back to my body with no neurological damage. And over a period of a couple months, my speech started to come back and I was completely healed. Nothing but the faith that my dad had and mm-hmm. the miracle of God. So even before Philip and our decision to have a child, it was a decision we took very seriously because of mm-hmm. the pre-existing issues I had gone through.
Right.
And we prayed about it. We talked to all the doctors about it. We got all the approval. Got my medication changed over, and within 3 months of just doing all that, I was pregnant.
Oh.
And we knew I was going to be high risk, of course, because of having recently 2 years after having the kidney transplant. Mm-hmm. I was followed by all the doctors. And to be honest with you, up until 8 months of that pregnancy, I was in the best health of my life.
Okay.
I had no high blood pressure. I had no morning sickness. I had an excellent pregnancy. Until at one point, all of a sudden, went to my 8 month checkup mm-hmm. and the day of literally my 8 month checkup, my amniotic fluid decreased from an 11 to a 2 and I had to have an emergency C-section.
Wow.
And Elijah was born at 32 weeks pregnant, weighing 2 pounds, 14 ounces.
Okay.
And was in the NICU for about 6 weeks. Wow. At the time I found out that he was in the NICU, it was also the time I found out my dad was diagnosed with lymphoma.
Oh, wow.
The stress of dealing with helping my mom out, with dealing with my finding out my dad had cancer and then my son being in the NICU
mm-hmm.
was nothing but God giving really us the strength and giving me the strength to deal with that stress and to deal with managing back and forth, going to the NICU, doing it. All I could do was really pump my breast milk and give to Elijah, because that's all I could really do for him there. But he came home 6 weeks later, weighing 5 pounds, healthy. And of course, as you all know today, he's 10 years of age.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And during all this stuff, the support of Philip, tell us about that.
Philip, definitely God knew what he, God knew when he put us together, because little did he know that 3 years into marriage, he'd be taking care of a sick wife. Little did he know that it could be a possibility that he couldn't have, that we couldn't have a family. And throughout this whole time on dialysis, he literally took care of me. He had to wash me and drive me and completely take care of me for almost 2 years. And, you know, when you think about through sickness and health, when you take those vows, little did we know, just a short while into our marriage, we would experience that. You know, he's definitely a hardworking man and nothing but God sent, because never did he complain. Never did he think twice. He just acted. And the time I was in the hospital, from the time I had the transplant, from the time Elijah was born in the NICU, from the time he came, from the time we all came home, from the time I had to be rehabilitated through my hip replacement, from the time I had my stroke, and till today, 16 years later, still is taking care.
Amen. So to talk to, you know, we go through stuff in life and we have our crosses. Talk to us a little bit, especially to young people, because you know, you're a young lady and you're going through all these things. This kind of illness normally hit older people, and you're going through this as you start your life and your whole life ahead of you. Talk to the young people. How do you cope with that with fate?
You know, to be honest with you, before all this happened with my kidney, I knew God. I was raised Seventh-day Adventist, you know, go to church every day and read my Bible. And, you know, I had a great childhood, and I can't say that I necessarily had a relationship with God, but I knew God and I loved God. And at the time I said to God, I said, Lord, I said, you know, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to build my relationship with you, you know, show me, I want to be able to have a relationship with you. And 6 months later is when my kidneys failed. And I didn't realize it until years later, you know, looking back at this now, thinking that sometimes God allows certain trials in your life to build your faith and to create a relationship with you, because he's more concerned about your salvation than your physical body.
Amen.
And, you know, when you think about the trials you go through and the relationship with him, that's what's most important, you know. And I don't anticipate, of course, anyone going through this and what we've experienced through the health, but trials happen every day in our lives, whether it's financial issues, whether it's relationship issues with others. You know, as a young person, it sometimes you wonder, you know, what's God's purpose for me? And I ask you to seek that out, to seek God and seek a relationship with him and say, Lord, what is my purpose? Because I know my purpose. I know God put me through all of this today. Because I said to God, I said, no matter, I said, if you can give me life, if you can keep me living, I will forever share my testimony with whoever I come in contact with.
Amen.
That's my purpose, is to show others that, you know, I don't look like what I've been through, and that's nothing but God and nothing but his miracles in my life. And I will continue to share that wherever I go, because I know that that's his purpose for me. So I would say to any young person that seek God for a relationship, not because your parents want you to, not because the traditions we grow up in, not because of the routine we become accustomed to, but because God wants our heart, most importantly, and he wants that relationship. Because I don't regret what's happened, because because of all of this, it's brought me closer to God.
Amen.
It brought my family closer to God. And at the end of the day, I want to see him. And if it took me going through all of this in order for me to build my faith each and every day, then it would, and then it's worth it. It's more than worth it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Powerful testimony. Powerful.
Yep. And Melanie, I know, you know, man, you don't stay still, man. I mean,
no, she doesn't.
As you say, you
I mean,
it's
how
amazing.
Is this lockdown treating you? I mean, you're confined. You can't go and do the workout stuff so much, you know.
You know what? I my health has been it's been great. I can't complain, you know, because of course being down on lockdown, you know, other challenges I've gone through, even having our second one, it's definitely caused us to spend more time together as a family.
Right.
And you know, people are going through this virus and they're losing their lives. And you know, of course me, I'm part of that category. I have a suppressed immune system,
right,
because of my rejection medication that I take.
Right.
And I don't take that for granted, you know, so I try to just make sure that I, you know, try to eat healthy, although it's tough right now being in this house,
right,
but it's just taking it one day at a time. You know, I've realized that, you know, all that I've been through, it doesn't mean that I'm an expert when it comes to that. You know, I still doubt God. I think about, you know, the disciples, and they walked with Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah. All the miracles they saw him do every day, and they still had doubt. Mm-hmm. And, and their faith still was tested. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that I'm not going to ever doubt God, but I look back at what he's brought me through. And I look back of all the trials that he keeps putting me through. Mm-hmm. And that every day is a reminder of why my faith should be strong, because he's gotten me through all of that. He's not going to leave me now.
Amen.
So we just got to take it one day at a time. I think when we overwhelm ourselves too much with what's going to happen next week or the following week, and I've realized through this process, you really just have to truly take it one moment at a time.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. That's true. Absolutely. That's true. And we see God's blessing, because now you have two boys, which is amazing. Wow. You know, this that's definitely a miracle, because what you've gone through, man, and have two boys and then even Isaiah, he came early too, didn't he?
He came very early. He came earlier than Elijah. I was on bed rest, of course, in the hospital with him for 7 weeks.
Right.
And that's another testimony.
That's another testimony. Yeah.
Another one.
That's going to be part two.
Part two.
Ooh, yeah,
we'll get to that one. Definitely.
Exactly.
But, it's definitely a pleasure to have you on. Thanks again for sharing your testimony. It's a powerful testimony. And especially for young people who are going through stuff, you know, need to know
we're not invincible.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, you're very athletic. I knew back then, you know, you're always athletic, running, doing track and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And you went through this thing. But God is good, because you're still here. And you're still living it. And when, you know, anybody see you that don't know that you had this condition, man, because you're so, you know, you're so active and healthy and everything, and you and Philip.
I gotta be. I don't have a choice.
We're so happy to have you guys a part of Plantation Family.
Exactly.
Plantation Family has been another testimony. They have been amazing. And that's the blessing of, you know, when we talk about surrounding ourselves with a church family. Mm-hmm. That's what got me through the early years of my life, through this transplant, through dialysis, with my church family. At the time, I was a member of First University Seventh-day Adventist Church. And and even through moving down here with Plantation, God was instrumental in surrounding me around the people that I need to be around, my church family and friends, to bring me through this. Because I definitely could not have gone through this alone.
Amen. 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 Mm-hmm. All right. So any more questions?
No.
Yeah, I think we got
it.
Yeah, this is beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. So, again, thank so much for spending this time with us. So, and Dawn, you pray to close for us. All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Loving Father, what an amazing journey you brought my sister through. To see that you've worked in her life so many times and helped her in so many obstacles that she was faced with. We ask, God, that we would have faith like this, and that she will continue to have faith like this, that she will continue to see you working in our heart and our mind and our family. And as we listen to her testimony, we hope, Lord, that you'll help us as well, just to keep persevering, to keep trusting you, and to keep loving you, so that we can all be ready to meet you. It's our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Thank you guys
again. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you so
much. God bless. All regards to Philip and the boys.
Isaiah.
Yep. Yay. I call him the boys, you know, because you know we have all girls.
Girls.
So I said,
so it's the girls.
Yeah, he's calling and Dawn and the girls. So it's gonna be Philip and Melanie and the boys.
Yes, I'm a mama boys.
All right, thanks again. Take care.
All right, thanks again. Love you guys.
Okay, love you too. All right, bye-bye. Bye.